In the beginning of Parshas Noach, the Torah describes Noach as being Noach ish tzaddik tomim hoyi b'doloysov. Noach was a moedik tzaddik. Now the Torah doesn't write on too many people that he's a tzaddik. Not only does the Torah write that he's a tzaddik, then the Torah writes that he's tzaddik and a tomim. It was mamish, the one that was chosen from the whole world, that he's going to save the world. He chapped in his teva animals from every min, from every sug. They say they had the shade in that ruchais, that everything ruchniistic and gashmias, everything was in the teva, and Noach HaTzadik was the one that saved the whole world. We standing today over here thanks to Noach. All the people you see in the world, there's nobody that doesn't have to say thank you to Noach. Noach saved the world. Now, if the Torah describes Noach as being such a phenomenal tzaddik, could you tell me how is it possible? Right after the teva, right after the story of the Mabel, it didn't take too long. Noach took a couple of drinks of wine, and he got shikah, and the biggest bezoyin ever happened to him. Such a terrible story that happened to Noach ish tzaddik. Now, how was it possible? You know, Bishlam, you say somebody, well, you know, the guy was no big tzaddik when he was young anyway. He was a no good nick as it is. So later on, when he gets on in life, and he does miserable things, so that we understand, of course he ends up with such a mess. Why? Because he had a terrible start. But Noach was this tzaddik, he was chosen, and Noach was kibul schar keneged kulam. This Noach was such a moedik tzaddik. How is it possible that Noach, such a brilliant person, such a tzaddik, such a tomim, the end of the story is he gets shuka and he loses every single thing that he has. This is a very big kasha that the Mefarshim speak about, and they look and they search in the Psukim, where was the mistake? Now, why do we have to know the mistake of Noach? We have to, what is it? What do we care? What might have a habit? Whatever happened by Noach is Noach, wasn't a gear to us. But the Mefarshim explained, Torah is called Torah. Torah means teachings. Whatever happened to Noach is a lesson for us. We have to find the mistake. Where was the mistake that this big, tremendous, big tzaddik did? And then we should know we should never fall into the same mistake. We should always watch ourselves. And this is a very important lesson. Now, in the Halakha Sfarim, it says that anything that's written closer to the beginning of the Torah is negeya much more to the rest of the Torah. It's a very deep musik, but let me try to explain this to you. If you have something that's written at the beginning of the Torah, then the whole Torah is based on that idea. If you have something that's written at the end of the Torah, of course it's very, very valuable and very solid. But things that are written later on in the Torah the things that are written in the beginning of the Torah have such a moedik koyach that the rest of the Torah is all based and everything is based on that. So we have to realize where was the mistake by Noach ish tzaddik tom mahoye b'doloysov, the mistake by Noach, and we should find out what is it negeir to the rest of the Torah and what is it negeir to us. So in order to understand this, I want to tell you a gavaldik yisod that says in the Halakha Sfarim. The Maral speaks about it, the Chinuch speaks about it, the Shemesh Shmuel speaks about it, a lot of Lashonim and Achronim deal with this concept, and it's Negev to you, you should know this for the rest of your life. The Gemara tells us like this. The Gemara tells us, Ksubis Tafei, tells us, hey mister, you better watch it, don't listen to any Dvarim V'Talim. Why? Because you know what's going to get burnt in Gehenna first? Your ear. If you listen to Dvarim V'Talim, you should know the first thing that when they take the guy and they put him into the hot seat, they put him into Gehenna, he has to pay for all his aves. You know, there's no free rides over here. For mitzvahs, he gets chayim. For Gehenna, well, you have to pay for it. You have the choice. Don't say you didn't know about it. You have the choice. So for mitzvahs, you get good and forget. I know. So the Gemara says, you know what? Watch it. Mister, you better watch it. Don't listen to any Dvarim V'Talim. Because the thing that's going to get burnt first is your ear. Because your ear was listening to Dvarim V'Talim. Of course, the Gemara tells us, that's the way it is. But we have to understand the Gemara. What does that mean? Don't listen to any Dvarim B'Talim because your ear is going to get burnt first. Freg de Maral, the ear is going to get burnt first. What's the big, terrible catastrophe about Dvarim B'Talim? If you tell a person like this, you know, you better not listen to Nivul Peh. Because if you listen to Nivul Peh, you should know Gehenim. They're going to get you by the ear and they're going to burn you, big fellow. Good, that we can understand. But the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara talks about Nivul Peh. The Gemara says, you better not listen to Dvarim B'Talim. Dvarim B'Talim is like an isekal. It means you just stop wasting your time. You're telling a stupid story instead of learning. You're saying, well, you know, I saw this and this and this happened, this and this happened. So it's like, stop Dvarim B'Talim. It doesn't say Dvarim Asurim. And we tell the guy, here's a chayim mister, you better watch it. Don't listen to any Dvarim B'Talim. Because if you listen to Dvarim B'Talim, your ear's going to get burnt first and you're finished. So the Maral asks this question, and he says a gevaldik teretz, and he says like this: everything is totally in the beginning. When you have something, you have to find the beginning. When you have evil, when you have ra, you have to find the first crack. Where was the first mistake? And everything is going to continue after that. You have to watch it at the beginning. What makes a person a person? He's chush hashmiya. He listens. If somebody chas v'sholom can't hear, he's part of a mitzvah. A cheresh is part of a mitzvah. There's nothing you can do with it. What you're going to talk to, he can't hear. He doesn't know. You can't give him any instructions. He can't do this. He can't do that. He's no masamad with him. He has to do like a shaita, finish. A guy that can't hear, the ball game's over. There's nothing you can do with him. A person that could hear has a gevaldik koyach. You could talk to him. He's a masamad. Okay, let's do this. Let's do that. You better watch it. Don't watch it. You could talk with him. If a guy that can't hear, there's nothing you can do with him. Now, the way you get into a person is through his ear. If somebody has earplugs, if somebody has no koyach of shmiya, there's nothing you can do with them. If a person wants to be on a good matzah, if he wants to do everything, he has to watch what he listens to. Because once the ear is good, it's only going to listen to good things, everything will be under control. But once a person decides, you know what, I'm going to listen with my ear to something not so good, even though the not so good thing is just a very small little thing, but since it's the beginning, it's the reishis, it's the haschola, it's the beginning of bed, then the person's going to have to pay for that ad lahafli. Why? Because he opened up the door. The first thing that a person does wrong is the worst thing, because that opens up the door. Once the guy opens up the door and he says, okay, I'm willing to be bad, so even if he does the simplest, foolish little thing, he's going to have to pay for it so much, because that's the thing that started. That's how the Maral explains. If somebody says, you better watch it with your ear, don't listen to Dvarim B'Teilim. Why? Don't listen to Dvarim B'Teilim? Because you should know in Gehenna that's going to be burned first, your ear. Why does the ear have to be burned first? The Teretz says, because the ear is the beginning. You have to watch the beginning of everything. If the beginning is under control, good. If the rest of it, if the beginning is not under control, everything is going to be Nimshach afterwards. There's a parsha in the Torah that's called Ben Soira Moira. It's a parsha stuma. But Chazal say it. You take a boy 13 years old. From 13 to 13 and 3 months. That's it. The boy 13 to 33 months, he goes, he takes a bunch of wine, he drinks it, he takes a piece of meat, he doesn't wait till it gets cooked, he eats it like a behemoth, and he takes this, he drinks wine. So the Gemara, the guy guzzled money from his father and his mother. He went and he took Tatima Bosa, and he shows a Chatzilug Yayin, and he drank it, and he got Mamma Shalabadi. So the Gemara, the bear father and mother take him to Besdin, and they give him the Misa Mishuna called Skila. Skila is the worst, it's the most chomadik Misa. You take a 13-year-old kid, and you take him and you give him Skila. Who takes it to Besdin? His father and his mother. Why? Because he took a couple of revias and of yayin, and he took a piece of meat. He's 13-year-old. Come on, give the guy a break. Let's not get carried away. So the chinuch says, no, no, no. If the beginning of his livelihood, the beginning when he's 13 years old, he's a din of a gadol. If the beginning, even if it's a little thing, so what? He took a piece of meat. So it was almost raw. Because he ate like a behemoth. A lot of people do behemoth shazachan. You take a kid, you give him skila, misa, mishuna. And who's the one that brings it to Besdin? The father and the mother? Why? Because it's the beginning. He's 13 years old. Let me see how he acts the days of his bar mitzvah. The beginning. What does he do at the beginning? If the beginning is crooked, then the person is finished for the rest of his life. Everything is going to be nimshach afterwards, because everything is totally in the beginning. This we can understand the Dovah Nifla. He was two tzaddikim in the time of the Gemara. One of them, his name was Rab Chia. And the Gemara says, Rab Chia, Godel Maisa Chia. When Rab Chia was Nifta, the Chazal described the Malachim that came down, and the fire, the chariots of fire came down to be Makabal in the Shoma. When a neshama leaves this world, we don't see it. We just see chas v'sholom, a person dies. We get sad and we don't realize what's going on. But really, mamash, thousands of neshamas come to greet that neshama and bring him up to Shemayim. If somebody's a moedik tzaddik, chariots of fire come down to greet the neshama, and they bring him up. And no one's allowed to look, because a person can get blind from the kedusha. Rab Chia was such a tzaddik. He had a moedik life. And the Gemara says, Godel Maisechia. Rab Chia did the greatest in the world. What did he do? So it says a Chazal like this. What did he do? He went and he took some seeds and he planted them. Then he waited and he made sure that the seeds grow good, and he got flax. He took the flax and he made nets. He made nets. He went out to the forest and he caught a couple of deers. He took the deers and he shechted it. He gave the basa to Yisrael and Almanis. He gave them what to eat. Then he took the deer skin and he made it into a cloth. And then he himself wrote out the whole Sefer Torah. Then he took a kid and he taught him Bereishis. Then he took a kid and he taught him Shemais. And he took a kid and he taught him Vayikra. And one Bamidbar, one Devarim. He said, okay, now I taught a good few. Now you, Bereishis, you teach the one with Shemais. Shemais, you teach the one that learned Vayikra. And he made sure, all, you know how much time this took? And Abchir took these five boys and then he taught them Mishnayis. And he made each kid teach the other kid. And then he made it until the Torah came back to Klai Yisrael. There was a big Shikchas HaTorah then. But he set it up that Klai Yisrael should know the Torah. And he was very stark matzliach. So the Gemara says, good Maisechiyah. Abchir is the greatest. He's mamish the greatest because he did such a wonderful thing. So the Mashah asks, Abchir doesn't have anything else to do with his time. He has to go plant the flax. He has to go catch the deers. You think that Moshe Feinstein should go into the forest, start chasing deers and catching them, and then shechting them, giving the meat to Yisraimim, and then go sitting and making, go into the tannery and start making, taking the skin and making it into a cloth, making it into parchment, and then he himself has to write the Sefer Torah. Then he himself is the Melamed. Give all that work to somebody else. Just sponsor it, pay the money for it, or give him a schmooze from time to time to give him the pep talk. But he has to give away all his time to do all these things until you finally get to Limud HaTorah. So the Mashah explains everything is totally in the Reishis in the beginning. How do you plan Torah? Do you know that all yeshivas come from which yeshiva? Which was the mother of all yeshivas? Volozhin. You know how they made the Volozhin a yeshiva? Reb Chaim Volozhin went. And they made the big asifa of people, hundreds of people came to the groundbreaking of Volozhin. And they took a big pail. And Reb Chaim Volozhin asked them they should put sand into the pail. And they put sand over the pail, and then he stood over the pail, and he started crying, and tears came down into the pail. And he waited and waited, and he cried so hard for about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, crying so much until the cement. He took it and he mixed the cement, his tears together with the sand. And then they gave him the first brick. He picked up the brick, and he took the sand that was full with his tefillin, and he put it on it, and he laid down the first brick. We over here, Rabbi Trank, we're in Adelphia thanks to those tears from Reb Chaim Volozhin. Reb Chaim Volozhin gave us all the yeshivas until Mashiach. How? From those tears. And Reb Chaim Volozhin could have taken a few schweitzers. He says, okay, boys, fellas, okay, let's set it up this way. Nein, it wouldn't have been the same. Tisipurnu tells us a dova nifla. How come the Mishkan, what was the Mishkan made out of? The Mishkan was made out of wood, it was made out of curtains. Was nothing, you know, a big wind could have maybe even knocked it down. A big hurricane wind could have knocked it down. What was the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash was solid. Was made of mamish kuf matumim, made with pillars. Mamish was noir. It was a Fort Knox. Had so much gold, so much silver, so much strength, and stone was built into it. What happened to the Mishkan? Zok the Chazal, the Mishkan stays. Atzei shitim oindim. Oindim la'ad la'oil me'er lomim. Nobody could ever touch the Mishkan. The Mishkan stays. We don't know where it is. It's hidden. It's Geniza. No one can touch the Mishkan. No guy has a shlit on the Mishkan. The Beis HaMikdash. The goyim went and they destroyed it. And they broke it. And they always needed a bedek habayis. They had to have a cleaning squad and a this squad and a that to fix it. There was always cracks in the wall. There was this. The Mishkan didn't have no bedek habayis, says the Sipurnu. He asked, what's going on? The Mishkan was such a weak little binyan. And that stays Lanetzach. The Beis HaMikdash is high. The Beis HaMikdash is solid, solid. What happens? The goyim smash it. First Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash, they smash it again. It doesn't last. Yes, the Beis HaMikdash was made out of heavy stone. And the Mishkan was a frail Mishkan. And that stays forever in the Mishkan, huh? Zok Te'elik Yisipurnu. The reason is, who made the Mishkan? You know who made the Reishis? Who made the Mishkan? Moshe Rabbeinu. With Bitzalel, they both went. Moshe put it. And they built it up, and he picked it up, and he put it down. He picked it up, and he put it down. He did it single-handedly, Moshe's strength. Bezalel was the architect. They built it. These tzaddikim did it together. Who made the Beis HaMikdash? Goyim. Shlomo HaMelech went. He took people, workers from Tzur. He paid them good money. Come on, workers. He had the goyim built it, and the guys, they were all bowed down to Shlomo. Mamish pishut yadayim v'raglayim. Shlomo was the king. He was martyrdik. He was a very frightful king, Shlomo HaMelech. But who built it? A goy. A goy built it. Ooh, if the Reishis of the Sipurnu, if the beginning is built with a goy, Oyvei, it's not going to last too long. If the Reishis, the beginning is with Kedusha and Taira, if it's with Moshe Rabbeinu, with Bezalel Ben-Ur, a 13-year-old tzaddik, that's Kodesh, Kodesh Kedoshim. If this boy that's so Kodesh can build a base of a Mishkan together with Moshe, this will last forever and ever. Rab Chiya, the reason why Rab Chiya was so great and so mighty, and the Torah we have today is thanks to the Talmidim and Talmidim of Rab Chiya, is because Rab Chiya went and the Reishis, the beginning, was Kodesh. He himself went out to the field, he himself went out to the deers, he himself planted the flax, he himself shafted it, he himself wrote it, he himself was the Malamed, he himself did it. If Rab Chiya, the Tzaddik, the Kodesh Kodesh, like Velozhin and Yeshiva, Velozhin and Yeshiva was made with tren and with tears, and that's why we're here. Rab Chiya, many thousands of years before, took 5 Talmidim and learned with them the Halakha Chumash. Didn't learn with them Ktzois, he didn't learn with them Rab Chaims, he didn't learn with them Rab Kivegas, he didn't push it the Chumash. But Rab Chiya taught them the Reishis B'Kedusha B'Taira, and that's why it lasted. But this we can understand a Dova Nifla. There was a person that was such a mighty Dikatzadik, we don't even understand how great greatness is. You know, his name wasn't even Rab Meir. His name was Nehoroi. The reason why it was called Meir was like light, Rabbi Light. Because he was so bright. Meir means light. So the Gemara says, we used to call him Rabbi Bright. Why do you call him Rabbi Bright Light? Because anytime he said something, he mamashi made it lichtig. And it was so great that all his friends, Rabbi Yehuda, Rab Shimon, Rab Nechemya, they couldn't even understand him. He was so greater than everybody. He was called light. He was mamashi chevtzef on light. His name was really Nehoroi. But they called him Rab Meir because he was light. Everything that came out of his mouth was pure bright. It was like he had a Rebbe. How great was his Rebbe? His Rebbe was so great you can't be masik. His Rebbe learned. His Rebbe learned together with Rab Akiva. His Rebbe was very, very great. What happened to his Rebbe? His Rebbe, one day they found that the person did avodah zarah. The person did arayis. He did shvichas damim. Rab Meir's Rebbe to go so low. How was it possible? And there's such moridika stories about Rab Meir's Rebbe, and everybody can't figure it out. You're talking about Rab Meir's Rebbe. Rab Meir was the king of the kings. And his Rebbe ended up going so low. So Tosfos and Chagiga brings a moridika story. Tosfos tells us that there was once a little boy that was born to a person by the name of Avuya. And he named him by Bris, he called him Elisha. And Elisha ben Avuya was by the Bris, and all the Tanoim came to celebrate the moridika Bris. And they started talking and learning. And when they were talking, learning, they were going minatoyde l'neviim, unaviim l'haksuvim, evahadvarim hayismechem kinesinosim mesinai. Everybody was so happy. It was lamish, mamish like maimer hasinai. All of a sudden, a fire came down, and it surrounded the whole house. So Avuya said, Rabbeisai, what are you doing? You bossing the listener of his basi. What are you burning down my house? Where'd you bring down a fire from? He says, no, this fire doesn't burn houses. We're talking in toyde. And the Kedushas HaToyde, when you have Toyde that's so great, it brings down the Maimon HaSinai Mamish. So we're bringing down the fire from Maimon HaSinai. He says, what? Toyde is so great? I'm giving my kid to Toyde. Right away? Very good. That's a wonderful thing. So he brought Elisha, the little Elisha was brought into Cheder. Elisha, you're going to learn, you're going to become a big Talmid Chacham. And Elisha ben Avuya became from the Gedolei HaDor. What was the end of the story of Elisha? He ended up going off the Derech. Why? What did he do wrong? What did his father do wrong? What's bigger? He wants his kid to learn Torah. So the Mefarshim explained, Toiv Achriz Dovim Reishisai. Let's say, boys, I tell you 1,000 times, if you take a log from the forest, you take out your penknife and you make a scratch in the log, how much did you face the value? 0. Was worth, let's say, $3 for wood, for firewood. With the scratch in it, you'll sell it for the same $3. You won't be no damaging. You go into, let's say, Rickles, and you buy a panel, and you have a nice panel. It's worth, let's say, $22. Then you take a knife and you make a scratch. Oh, they can't sell that for $22 anymore. They could sell it for maybe $4, $5, because no one's going to buy it. You're not going to buy it for a panel to put into a wall, because it went down. So the $18 you knocked off with that stupid scratch. What if, let's say, you have a nice, beautiful table, one of these tables over here, it's nice, you know, you want to sell it in the store, let's say it costs $60. Guy takes a penknife, makes a scratch right over it. There's no way you'll sell it for $60. You'll get $30 for it because no one's going to buy it. You have to put it into a junk shop. They buy secondhand stuff. You knocked it down $30. Let's say you have a car, nice, beautiful car, costs, let's say, $22,000. A guy takes out a knife and it makes a nice scratch on the doors. And it's only a scratch, the same scratch you made on the log. Oh, did you deface the value of it? What if you take a diamond, a big, beautiful diamond? It's worth billions of dollars a big, mamash azetza. And you take somehow, and you make a scratch in it. You know how much you deface the value? Because it's a diamond. Tanoyim are diamonds. The diamonds are biggest diamonds in the world. Even a little scratch of Shaloi L'Shem Shemayim, if the Reishis, if the beginning, the Haschola, is not the way it's supposed to, it has a little bit Midas Reis. Oh, I want my kid to learn Torah. My kid's going to learn Torah. I'll be so happy. Hey, I'll have the kid the smartest in the world. But Shaloi L'Shem Shemayim, you take the kid into what happens? And then the kid, Chas Hashem, goes down. Everything is totally in the Reishis. Everything is totally in the Reishis. Let's go back to Noach. How did Noach go off? Noach was the Ish Tzadik. Toma Mayi B'Doloysev, what did Noach do wrong? When Noach went out of the Teva, what was the first thing he did? What did he do? He should put a cup. It says first thing he did was plant wine. Why did he plant wine? Plant grapes to get wine. Why? Why? Hashem didn't tell him to plant wine. Hashem, he wanted to bring kabbonis, right? When you bring kabbonis, you have to bring also nesachim. When you bring a carbon to Hashem, not only you bring a carbon to Hashem, but you have to take wine and you have to pour it in the mizbeach. It's nesachim. So he really was going to do a mitzvah. But wait, there's one other thing you could do with wine also. You could also become drunk. Now, Reb Noach, you have a chance now. The first second you're out of the table, what's the first thing you could do? Noach should have fasted. He should have ran. He should have taken out his shtender, opened up his gemara baba basra, put one finger on the gemara, one finger on the Rashbam, and just ripped through the mesechta. He should have done that. But he didn't. He decided he's going to plant grapes. Now, grapes, one second. It's possible from grapes he could become drunk. Why did Noach pick that? Why did he, first thing he should have taken out his tilim and say, Hashem, thanks so much. And lay down on the floor and thank Hashem, Rabbi Shem, thanks, you got, we saved the whole world, and now the whole world will continue. He didn't do that. First thing he did is plant. He became an Ish HaAdama. From Noach his tzaddik, he became, so the Sipuna says, the first thing you do, the first thing you do when you come out of the tape is what? You plant? Even if you have a kavanah l'shem shemayim. But is that the first thing you do? Why didn't the first thing you do say, Hashem, thanks? And start crying and dancing, Hashem, thanks. No, that's not what he did. The first thing, everything is totally in the first. Like the Ben Sayyidah Moira, the 13-year-old. What do you want for the poor guy? It's the first thing that you do. Whatever you do after that, it's just going to be continuation for the first minute of whatever you did. Noach HaTzadik. Noach is tzadik. The first thing that he did was plant. That should not have been the first thing that he did. When a person first comes to yeshiva, and he comes with a suitcase. Okay, which room is it? Who's going to be my roommates? No, that's not the first thing you do. The first thing is, who's my chavrusa? Who's my chavrusa? Rebbe, what mesech are we learning? If the first thing you do is right, everything will go afterwards. If the first thing we do is, oh no, this guy's my roommate. Oh, you? You I don't like. You, yeah, I remember you from camp. Right away, Billy Kate, oh, this and that. And you hurt somebody's feelings, uyvei, the rest of his mind is going to go after that. A person has to watch the first moment of the day. When a person gets up, Rabbi Chaim Volozhin says, if a person gets up and says, Rabbi Nishalodim, I'm a Kabbalah on myself, oil Torah. So Rabbi Chaim Volozhin, b'shem devil negoyin, if this is the first thought that's in your mind as soon as you wake up, then Hashem is going to make it that the rest of the day you'll learn great. But if a person, the first second he gets up, he says, oh no, him again. Why is he waking me up? Why doesn't he get lost? Why don't you get off my case? Why don't you go to somebody else? Leave me alone. Don't you realize how tired I am? If that's the first thought of the day, then the rest of the day is going to run after that. You have to watch the beginning. The beginning of the week. The beginning of the week is Matzah Shabbos. What do people do Matzah Shabbos? People Matzah Shabbos, the first thing you do, you get out of your Shabbos clothes, you get into your weekday clothes, okay, gotta go to get pizza. That's the first thing. The pizza shops are full, and it's mamas, the music is knocking, and it's, oh boy, everybody's having such a good time. That's the first thing you do Matzah Shabbos. The first thing Matzah Shabbos, right after Avdolin, the yeshivas and Kelm, they start, you say the right after, they said the last Amen, they made Havdalah, and then everybody sat down for 5 minutes, they learned. Okay, now you continue. Whatever you have to do, but the first thing you do is learn. You can't do the first thing, it has to be tip-top. If the beginning is not the way it's supposed to, the rest is going to run after that. People say, oh, Sunday you have them so sluggish, it doesn't work, and it's not going, it's like, you know, like an off day, like it's just not going stuff. Why is Sunday not? What do you do once it's Shabbos? You know, the Shulchan Aruch says, Yisgaber Kali, get up like an Ali, get up like an lion. And some guys get up, they get up like a dead, like a dead clown. There's nothing. They don't move. And here the Shulchan Aruch says, Yisgaber, you know why? The Shulchan Aruch says, it depends, wait, hey, how'd you go to sleep? It says in Shulchan Aruch, in the first sin of Shulchan Aruch, when you go to sleep, you should know in front of who you're going to sleep. What does it have to do with the Hilchos getting up? That the Shulchan Aruch should tell us in Hilchos going to sleep. When you go to sleep, you should know, Shvisa Hashem, Hashem is with you. But in the first sif in Shulchan Aruch is telling you, no, you should know that when you get up, you should know the night before who you're going to sleep in front of. Because the beginning, how do you get up in the morning? The beginning, getting up in the morning is not yet the beginning, it's how you go to sleep at night. That's the beginning of the beginning. A person has to watch always the beginning. When a person watches the beginning, he's moyedik matzliach. And if a person doesn't watch the beginning, he's moyedik lost. And that's why a person has to watch himself. Always to see the beginning of the year, the beginning of the zman. In the Achronim it says that if a person is makabel on himself on Chodesh Cheshvan, that's right after the Chodesh Tishrei Cheshvan, if in Cheshvan a person learns like a mensch, and he davens like a mensch, and he's nimshach, the heilige oidus of the Yom Noroyim, that the rest of the year will be great. If a person has a Lifyun, he doesn't, you know, Api Kabbalah, it says, it says, right after Simchas Torah, there are 12 days. And Api Kabbalah, each one of these days are connected 1 month of the year. And that Chaim Falaji brings from the Chidor, he says that if a person, every day, from the 12 days right after Simchas Torah, he strikes himself, he learns great, and he watches his Machshova, Dibur, and Maisa for those 12 days, the rest of the year, it'll be Mulei D'Katzlocha. Because he planted it the way that Bchiya planted it. He planted it the way that Chaim V'lozhin planted it. He planted it the way it's supposed to be planted. And we're all continuing after Rosh Hashanah. That's why Hashem had such achmonus in us. He put us into a Helik Yeshiva. Take a look how many people there are in the street. They don't find a way to yeshiva. Hashem gave us, all of us, may you all of us. And he put us into the world of the yeshiva. And Rosh Hashanah, we're in a yeshiva. And our reishis is so halik. Our reishis is so great. Every single person daven to the best of his ability. No, we don't have kavana for every single word. We're not on that level. But we all stood by davening. By Yom Kippur, we all said, I'm sorry. Even though we didn't know the taich of all the words. But we all stood. The beginning of the year, our beginning was great. Our beginning was great. Our Rosh Hashanah was great. We all went to the mikveh. We had 2 days of Tkiyah Shayfa. It was half of a fella. Then we had a session made Shuvah. We screamed Avinu Malkeinu. We screamed the Yud Gimel Midas. Our beginning was so great. And then we came to the Helik Yom Kippur. The Fnei Hashem Titoru. Hashem at the beginning of the year took away our Vedas. We have such a good greatness. Such a good beginning. Why should we give it away? A person asked them from time to time, remember, oh, remember how I was in Asay Shemei Tshuva. Remember how I was in the beginning. And if a person remembers how great he was at the beginning, he'll be nimshach. He has to remember how the beginning is supposed to be. And that's how a person has his atzlocha. I saw from the Shem Shmuel, he writes in Parshas Kitzeitzei, a boy, a bar mitzvah boy, has to know that the bar mitzvah, the first few months after his bar mitzvah, is very important. Because the way the person acts after his bar mitzvah, that's the way he's going to act for the rest of his life. A boy that comes into a yeshiva, a ninth grader, it's the beginning of a new thing. You're joining a yeshiva, it's the ninth grade, it's the beginning, it's a haschola. How am I going to act in the ninth grade? If you're going to act great, then you'll be matzliach in the 10th, and the 11th, and the 12th. But if you're slouchy, and you can't put your act together, and you waste your time, then who knows what type of a future is waiting for you. A person has to watch the beginning of the day, the beginning of the week, the beginning of the month, the beginning of his life, the beginning of all the beginnings. You have to watch it. And once a person watches his beginnings, then he's moedik matzliach. Before I tell you this story, I just want to tell you one more nekuda that's very important. In the Heilige Svarim, it tells us in the first word of the Torah is called Bereishis, beginning. What does Rashi say Bereishis is? Bereishis is Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis, Yisrael is Reishis, and Bishvil the Torah. If somebody opens up a Gemara, then it's a new day. It's a new start in his life. Any time in the world, let's say somebody has a bad past, a bad day, he had a bad week, a bad month, a bad year, a bad background, a bad everything. Soon as he opens up the Torah, it's Bereishis, it's beginning. Bereishis, the beginning of your life, is when you open up a Gemara. When you open up the Gemara, you become such a different person. If somebody's in a bad mood, I know somebody in yeshiva, you hit up David, I know somebody in yeshiva that was suffering with a zach terribly. I know the person because he himself told me the story. And he came to yeshiva, it was Friday night, it was no long winter night, it was moiridik tzabrocha. He was moiridik tzabrocha. And the person didn't know how he's going to get out of this mess. He was so brokenhearted of something that happened to him. So he told me, he put his 2 feet down, he said he's not moving his feet. And he stayed the whole night and he learned Masechta Chagiga, of course he knew it already. He learned the whole Masechta Chagiga that night. His life was changed. He went to sleep late, but he got up early. He felt so clean and so tore. The Hartzvetik, the Agmas Nefesh that he had in his heart was totally taken away. Why? Because he learned Torah. Torah is Reishis. If you learn Torah, no matter what matzav you're in, no matter what's bothering you, if you learn for 5 minutes, you learn for 10 minutes. A father called me today from a yeshiva. His son was mamish shaky, vackling zech. He was mamish, he wasn't doing good. And his father called me today this afternoon to tell me that his son called him and told him that last night, Motzei Shabbos, was the first time in his life that he learned for 5 hours in a row. The father told me in his life, he got scared that 5 hours is too much. But the kid had such a, he got into it. He finally broke in. And he said it wasn't a strain. It was just great. He just kept on learning for 5 hours. His father was so mully as spineless, he called me up to tell me how to share this with somebody. And he told me about his son. It's a mishuna de gazach. Once a boy starts learning, if you're ever in a bad mood, you ever did lousy, you ever did this, you did that, you got to get out of it. All you do is have to open up the Torah. Learn Gemara. As soon as you learn one Amud Gemara, half Amud Gemara, the Mishnah with Rashi, get it clear again and again. And you'll enjoy the Gemara, you'll become a different person. It's Bereishis. Bishvil, Torah, Shanik, Bereishis. The Reishis, the beginning of all, of any matzah, all you do is have to learn Torah. I want to tell you a story about the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, but before I tell you the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, I want to tell you a story about a little boy. A little boy. This boy was 6 years old, and listen to what this boy could do. This boy, he says, I found this in the Sfardish Sefer, this Maisa. It's a small story, but it shows us the greatness of a little boy because he was so Kaddish. There was a little boy, his name is Rav Avram ben Musa. Avram ben Musa was such a moiridik tzaddik. He was a little boy, he was 6 years old, he was a brilliant mind. The boy, as soon as he was born, his parents went and they said that this boy is going to be a Kaddish mamish. And that's what they did. They didn't let the kid see any Dovah Zor. They never even let the kid see any animals, Tmeis. He only saw kosher animals that was drengzach on the farm, that was drengzach by him. He didn't see any treifazach. And the mother always used to make sure that the boy heard divrei Torah. She used to take the little Avremele and she used to take him to the Batei Knesiyos, the Batei Midrashos, like the Yishalmi says, Rabbi Shua Hananya's mother did that. And he had the little boy to hear divrei Torah. And the little boy, he was mamish, the little boy that was mamish, the mother had to feed him. And the mother used to take the child in her spare time. She would hear the Omen Yesh made up from the Batei Knesiyos. She would put the vegala, she would take the little, I say vegala, the little carriage, and wheel it into the base medish and leave him there and say, Rabbi, please be misspelled, my little boy should know Torah. And the boy was Kodesh Kadoshim. And the boy was a brilliant mind. And the boy learned his alabes in 1, 2, 3, and right away was Ivra. The kid was 2 years old. He was davening like everybody else. They couldn't believe it. A little boy with a little siddur. He was davening like everybody. He was a Sfardish boy. The boy was 3 years old. He already started learning Chumash already. And by four, the kid was Noir of Oyem. He already was learning Gemara. And he was locking himself up in rooms and learning things that no one ever knew what he was doing. It was Moir. At this time, this place where this Rabbi Avram ben Musa was living when he was only 6 years old, it was a certain area that the Yidden were living next to the Muslims. And the Muslims were moiridik l'shoyim, they always are, they always will be until we annihilate them from the world. They're l'shoyim alurim, they come from Yishmael. And the Muslims had a certain area that if any Yid would ever walk by that area, they would kill the person who tortured him to death. So the Yidden knew that you can't walk by that area. So in order to keep the shalom over there, so the Yidden knew that we walk at these blocks, the Muslims walk in that block, so they had the places, that's it, they had the marketplace. But in that area where the Muslims live, like it's like a worse than Harlem. You know the white guy or Koshkin, a Yid can't walk through Harlem at night, the guy that's finished, he can't take a chance. And this is the same thing. And this there was a person over there that was a Rangaton learning, the person was a Rangaton, and he was walking with something, and then he got fatrach. And he passed by the streets where the Muslims were. And one Muslim saw that this Yid was there. One guy grabbed a hold of him. One guy knifed him. The other guy choked him. They killed him. They tortured him. And Misa Mishuna. Then they went, they took the body, the dead body, they put it on a wagon. And they rolled the wagon into the area where the Jews were. He didn't saw that. Uy, fate, that they have on Mustafish, that they had Zion. This Rabbi Rambam Musa was a little boy. He was 6 years old. He was in Cheder. He didn't even know the story yet. He comes home and he sees his mother's crying and she's crying. He says, Ma, why are you crying? So he says, you didn't hear what happened? Our next door neighbor, the tzaddik, an old person, he got he got engrossed in something and he walked by accident into the Muslim territory. And they went and they killed him. They gave him a misa mishuna and they sent back the body onto a wagon and they rolled it back into our area. How could anybody live this down? We have such agmas nefesh. His wife is broken. His kids are broken. The levai is going to be later on the day. And the kid here says he can't believe it. The kid was a little boy, and he decided he's going to put a stop to this once and for all. He's going to put a stop to the little boy, six-year-old kid. Kids, anyway, everybody went to the levai, and everybody cried. It was terrible. And they had to make sure that the Muslims don't get in riots, and they had to get the police to separate the Muslims from the Yidden. It was a very heartbreaking day. This Avram ben Musa, that night, he was supposed to go to sleep. No, he waits for his parents to fall asleep, and he tiptoes out of his house. He tiptoes out of the house. He goes into a different house, far away, by the Beis Medrash, and he goes over to a certain tzaddik over there, and he asks the tzaddik that he wants to borrow this and this sefer. The tzaddik looks at him, at this time of the night, you're coming to me? Shouldn't you be sleeping now? So he says, you know, I like to learn the sefer, please give it to me. He says, yeah, but I told you many, many times you shouldn't be learning this at night, late at night, you should be sleeping, you're too young yet. I'm telling you, don't, this is not for you. He says, please, Rebbe, give it to me. No one knows that you're my Rebbe, and no one knows that I'm your Talmud. Please give me the sefer for a few hours, and I'll give it back to you. He says, no, I can't, it's late, you have to go back to sleep. Please, Rebbe, I'm begging you. So he begged him, he said, okay. And he gave the little Avremelah, he gave him the sefer. And this tzaddik Rabbi Avram ben Musa, when he was 6 years old, he went to the Beis Medrash, and he opened up the safe, and he had a lantern over there, and he was reading it by candlelight, and he was learning it, and he did what he did. Then afterwards, he went, he gave back the safe, snuck back into his house. Now it comes time to wake up, and his mother can't wake him up. He's sleeping such a deep sleep. She says, Avram, Avramala, wake up, and he's sleeping in a deep sleep. So she realized, what's going on? Usually he snaps up in the morning, such a zolis. The funny, he gets up, Mama. Says the mother, he says, what happened to you? How come you're sleeping so deeply? You usually get up in 1 second. He says, no, it's nothing. Everything's okay. First he washes down because he had very little sleep. He's a little boy. He washed Negelvasa. And first he goes, the tzaddikal goes, and he toivels himself into the mikveh, and he goes to Davin. If he goes to Davin, instead of going to the place where he's to sit and learn, he was a very big ilu, and he belonged to a special group with the much older boys. He didn't go there. He went back, he waited no one to look, and he went into the mikveh again and again and again. Kept on toveling himself. After he finished toveling himself a belt of times, he goes out into the mikveh, and he goes to a certain place, and he takes out a pen, and he writes something on a piece of parchment, and he closes it, and he puts it into a kiss, b'terech kiss. One pocket into a different pocket, and he wraps it up, and he puts it into his pocket. He takes it, he goes right back into the mikveh, he toveles himself again, and he goes back and he goes out. Then he takes it and he goes into the marketplace and he's looking around in the marketplace. This little six-year-old kid. Then he's thinking. Then he says, he goes over to, he sees somebody he knows. He says, listen, could you do me a favor and lend me some money? I'll pay you back in a week or two. He says, yeah, what do you need money for? He says, I want to buy fish. You want to buy fish? Yeah, okay. So he says, okay, who are you buying fish for? I have to buy fish, no? Okay. So the guy says, yeah, they gave money. The kid went and he bought a whole string of fish. Nice fish. So he takes the whole string of fish, and that's it. Make sure the guy doesn't see him. And he starts walking towards the Muslim area. The little boy starts walking, make sure no one sees he's walking this way, that way, until he walks into the area of the Muslims. Then he goes to the tough guy, the sheik over there, that Arab sheik. Over there, the tough cookie, the one that would really slaughter anybody. And he goes, passes by that house. He says, fish for sale. His little pace is flying out. So the maid runs down the steps over there from the big, the guy had a mansion, and she tells the kid, what are you, crazy? You know, if this guy gets one that you're here, he's going to take a knife and cut you apart. Don't you know what they did yesterday? She says, oh, I see, such a good-hearted person. Tell me, do you want to buy some fish? She says, don't be crazy. The mouse, they'll catch you, they'll kill you. She says, oh, I see, you're a good-hearted person, and you're really worried for me. You know what? I'm giving you this fish for free. She says, really? He says, yeah, this fish is real. Can I ask you for a favor? You know, could you just take this piece of parchment over here and just throw it into the well over here from the sheikh? Just throw it into the well. She says, why do you want to do that? Well, you know, I just want to do that. You don't mind. I'll give you a lot of fish. So the lady says, oh, okay, all this beautiful fish. You're all for me? All for you. And he said, and he had a sparkle in his eye. And she said, oh, thank you so much, my son. But you run for your life. Of course I run for my life. But fish, just take this little parchment, throw it into the well. Thank you so much. And the lady says, oh, okay. And she takes the fish, beautiful fish, and she takes it, and she takes the parchment, and she drops it into the well. Finished. And Avram ben Musi, the little tzaddikal, goes back, and he goes, well, he comes back to the shiur, Rabbi Yisem, Avram alav, what was the van? Where were you? I was a little busy. I'm everything's okay. Good, he comes back. Meanwhile, the sheik always used to have a tremendous meal with all the chazedim sitting together with him. He had 70 animals eating together with him, and they went and they took water from the thing, and they cooked, and they did, they washed, they had water from the well. Kitzur, they had a big meal. And it didn't take long. After they finished the meal, all 70 people died. Every one of those people died. They fell down and they died. When those people fell down and they died, the big sheik and all the 70 people over there, they died. And it was a pachat b'chodim. The one that died also, b'soichdom, was the maid also. Everybody died. Everybody in that house died. Everyone that had any food, that had any mashu, shaychas to the water that came from the well, they all died. No one could be masik what happened. People came in the afternoon. They see people, 70 people laying up just dead, like they were poisoned to death. They called the police. They knew this sheikh got killed. Who did it? They run, they look. They check the food. They can't find the poison. They check this, they check that. Nobody sees anything. So now they gave it to the head of the police, and they gave it already to the melech over there. And they said, they got to get to the bottom of this. Who was the one that killed all these 70 people? So some people say, hey, the Jews did it. Hey, it's impossible. Jews couldn't do that. They knew they'd get slaughtered. No one was in there. They don't see any clues. Kids, so they went and they took the galochim, they took the this, that. Nobody could figure out what happened. Nobody knew what happened. And finally they went, they said they have to go over. They said they went to the big head of the police. The other ones, you have to ask the rabbis. Because we can't figure it out. Maybe they know. So they went to the rabbis, the big rabbonim. They said, listen, I'm sure you heard there was 70, the sheikh and 70 people, all his avodim, the shifchas, and all his staff. Everybody died over there. And nobody knows what happened. Could you possibly tell us what happened? So they said, we really don't know. So they said, well, one of you better tell us what happened. No, the one day goes by, 2 days go by, the Yidden can't figure out. Nobody, the Yidden were dancing, they were so happy. They're having a coma. That 70 Arabs of the Shoyim got killed and put them in the place. But there was still Tzabrochen that a Yid was slaughtered. But nobody knew what happened. The Rav came by davening, and the Alter Rav was sitting there, was Mordedik Fazorg. And he knew that he has to come up with an answer. They can't figure it out. No, everybody went, everybody left by davening. The Rav was sitting there by his tishala, by his table, and he was davening. Then he got up from the daydream thinking, who could have done it? What was done? No, so this little boy, Avram ben Musa, the little boy, 6-year-old boy, knew that they challenged the Rav. The Rav has to come up with information. So he walked over to the Rav. He says, Rebbe, I see that you're zerbrochen, you're ganzen verdeiget. What happened? What are you doing? Why are you so tzabrochen? He says, listen, if we don't come up with an answer, what happened? Who knows what they're going to do? Who knows what they did? So Avram, the little boy, turns around, he looks around, he doesn't see anybody looking. He says, I'll tell you, I did it. He says, you did it, what'd you do? He says, I'll tell you, Rebbe, I was so upset, it was a next door neighbor, that I went, I took out a Kabbalah Sefer, and there's a certain Shem that you have to be Mechavan, and you write a certain thing, and if you put it into the water, you can poison all those people. So he said, you did that? You know how to do that? He says, Rebbe, I was very upset. Once and for all, I'm going to put them in the place. So he says, you're not allowed to do that. You're a young boy. Who said you're allowed to learn Kabbalah? Who's your Rebbe? I'm not allowed to say who my Rebbe is. She says, oh no, this we can't let. Little boys can take justice into their own hands. Because of what you did, you have to go into Golos. So he says, Rebbe, I'm a little boy. I have to go into Golos? Because you were moira halacha b'fnei rabba, you have to go into Golos. For 2 years, you have to be away from your house. That's your punishment. But then he said, I didn't know that you learned Kabbalah. A boy 6 years old can learn Kabbalah. And you mishtamish with Shemis. He says, Rebbe, what should I do? I was very upset. So he says, well, this is the oinish. You have to go out. But then the Rebbe was so happy that there was a little Baal Mekub that's growing up. That a kid 6 years old has the koyach to write the Shem on a klaf and make it that who knows what. So many people said, so he couldn't get over it, that a new star is growing up, such a noiroi, stick a tzaddik. So he told them, listen, I want you to go to a different shtot. Tell your parents I said you have to go to a different shtot. And they'll trust me and they know whatever I say is right and they'll just go along with it. But don't go too far. I don't want you to be far away from me. Because he saw he has such a mighty dick at tzaddiko that he never knew was there. And the boy Avram went and he told him, he says, Rebbe, you know what you should tell them? Tell them you think that they choked because of the air was bad. They'll fall for it. He says, you know, I never thought of that. It's a good idea. Meanwhile, the Rav went and he got himself a good excuse. He saw this little Baal Mekubal who told him what to do. And he first, they sent the boy, went home. He says, Mame, he says, the Rav told me that I have to be for 2 years in a different shtot. The mother and father knew that the boy was a big tzaddik. And they got a little wind of it. The boy was missing and the boy was this and he fell asleep late. And they knew the son already was climbing very, very high windows. They knew that the boy was a real, real Kodesh Vitar. So they got the wink. They got off from wink, off from vunk, like they say. They knew already what the Rebbe said. They said, we'll go along. They sent him to one of the relatives that lived in a different shtot, and they sent him there. And that was his kapara for Golas. And he was there. Then they went to police. They came back. They asked him, who? They asked the guy. Okay, they asked Rabbi, can you tell us what happened? So he told them, listen, the only way we can figure out, they must have suffocated from the heat. They must have been cooking something. Must have had some acid or poison thing in the heat. And the kids were all the baloney that he said. They fell for it. They couldn't figure it out. But then there was quiet. The Muslims didn't bother the Yidden anymore. And that little tzaddik, Avram ben Musa, grew up to be one of the biggest Sephardic Shabbalim Mekobolim that ever lived. He was a boy that 6 years old, he already knew Seamus. And when he was 15, 16, he already had gotten married. He married Mamash Tzenu and he lived a life of Kedusha V'tayra Adla Hafli. They say, Moli de Kamaisis, he wrote a lot of Sephardic Shasvarim. It's not circled by it. We don't know too much about these Svarim because the Kabbalah Svarim and the Sephardic Shasvarim. But this Rabbi Avram ben Musa was so halik, and the Sfarim explained, how did this person become so halik? Only because his beginning is racious. His halik is racious. If the beginning is Kodesh V'Torah, the person's molidik matzleach. And that's a molidik lesson for us. People have to realize, I once heard from a Rav, told me a molidik azach. The parasha in Soita says, you take a Soita, a lady, that lady that was really a Yiddish Abbas Yisrael. And what did this lady do? She went and she was miyachad with a different man. And maybe she did an aveira of gila harayis. And she has to drink the parsha. She has to drink the water. And maybe because if she did an aveira, she's going to bust. And if she didn't the aveira, she'll be benched. But she has to drink the water. But you moichik Hashem's name. And before you do that, you bring the lady in. You give her a drosha. You say, lady, you should know. Don't be moid if you did an aveira. Don't make us cross out Hashem's name. And he said, we know that a lot of girls do mistakes because harbe yaldas oisa. Because a girl, when she's young, she has bad friends and she does things that are wrong. Boys, please forgive me 1,000 times. I want to tell you something you have to know. There are terrible stories where people end up doing miserable things in their lives. Do you know why? It's because of the things that they learned and they read when they were young. And Isha, a Yiddish Afroi, is the most halikst azach. A lady is Kodesh Kadoshim, a lady is a Halik Azach. The Abishah created a man to be married with a lady. A lady shouldn't be doing an Aveda. Why does a Yiddish Afroi, Chas V'Shalom, do an Aveda? Do you know why? Because when they're young, they read stupid things. Harbe Yaldas Oysa. When they were young, they watched TV, and they watched video, and they read all many stupid magazines, and plus Reader's Digest, that's Treif like Chaza. And I'm not talking about Sports Illustrated, it's also Treif like Chaza. And Life, I forgot all the schmutz, all the garbage today. It's not like it was when we were younger. It was also no big zach to read the things, but it didn't have so much filth in it. Today, every newspaper, every radio, that's all they have. Ma yasa shalo yechta. A person has mishagasin in his mind. Why does he have the mishagasin in his mind? Because he hears it on the radio, he hears it on the news, he reads it in the newspaper, and every novel that he reads is saturated with all this garbage. Any magazine is full of manuvaldika pictures. Every billboard is full of treif like chaza. It's so difficult to stay late. But if a boy, when his younger years, if he trains himself as much as he can, keep away from the umayis ha'olam, keep away from the goyish hazachen, keep away from the bad friends, harbe yaldas oisa, keep away from bad friends. They're the ones that teach a person to do bad things. There are many boys that are very stark matzliach. You know why they're matzliach? Not everybody is cut out to sit and learn day and night. Not everybody's sitting in the koilu. Ruba de ruba of Klai Yisrael is not in the koilu. But take a look, so many people are learning, coming to shuls. How many hundreds of thousands of yidna are learning daf yomi? How many people are acting the way they're supposed to? Do you know why these people are doing good? Because they had a good training when they're young. When people are stupid people and they watch TV all their lives, they don't go to the daf yomi. People get rid of the TV, they go to the daf yomi. People get rid of the videos, the CVR, what's it called? VCR. VCR, CVR, it's all the same garbage. And all these things, if they get rid of it, you don't have it in the house, then your house is halik. Don't have it. And if you happen to be a house that does have it, keep away. Kimitachavei keshes. If your parents or if your brothers and sisters watch it, it has nothing to do with you. You're a yeshiva bocha. You have to train yourself. That in the early years of your life, your reishis has to be kodesh kadoshim. And if your reishis is kodesh kadoshim, you're moedik matzliach. Everything is totally in your reishis. Everything is totally in the first day. You know, when a little boy becomes 3 years old and you have to take him to the first day, you take him to yeshiva and he take him to the Aleph Beis, wherever you know, you take him. I don't know if you boys ever saw it. This is the minig that we do. The minig, you take a little boy and you wrap him up in a talis from head till toe and you carry him in the street like a Sefer Torah and you bring him to the Rebbe's house and then you uncover him and then the Rebbe takes the boy and he kisses him and he tells the kid, my son, do you want to learn Torah? And the little boy says yes and he takes an aleph beis and right away he puts honey on the aleph, his special charts, and they take honey and they say, lick the aleph, make a bracha, and the kid licks the aleph, licks the beis. And the Rebbe says, is it sweet? So the bracha says, yes. So he says, aleph beis is this. And then he gives the kid a klet. He says, say what I say. And the kid says, Torah, Tziva, Lonu, Moshe. And you start the Yiddish akin with helikite. You don't take the little kid, the three-year-old kid, put him on a dunce cap, you make him a birthday party, and let's all sing together. Happy birthday. Scheute. This is what you do to a Yiddish kin, a Yiddish Halik kin. Take him to the Rebbe, let the Rebbe kiss him, take him, give him Kedusha and Taira, make him have a Halikite, a Halikite. Kedusha, Kedusha. And if the kid has Kedusha at the beginning, you know the first day when a kid is 3 years old, you don't let the kid out of the house. The kid stays in the house the whole day. He should only see his brothers, his sisters, his father, his mother. He should stay in the house with the people that he knows. He shouldn't see no fremde mensch. And you learn with the kid, and you chatzkezach with the kid. Make sure the beginning is Kodesh. If the beginning is Kodesh, it'll last. But if you take kids and you make stupidities out of them, you make idiots out of them, if the birthday, at the beginning of every new year, kid becomes 2, the kid becomes 3, the kid becomes 4 and 5. So what do you do at the beginning? At the beginning, you should bench him, bring him to a tzaddik for my kids in bar mitzvah. What do? I take my kids to Rabbi Aaron Kreiser, and I tell Rabbi Aaron Kreiser, please bench my kin, give my kin the brachas on matzliach zayin and learning. But I take your kids, and people make bar mitzvahs, and they throw out so much money, and they make a band, and they buy him a hat this big, and they buy this, and they buy that. That's not what you do by a bar mitzvah. By mitzvah, you make the kid a bar mitzvah. Mechuyev, mechuyev, and mitzvahs. The Alter von Slabodka says, you take a little boy, a boy that knows how to talk, what do? Zakti Gemara, you say, you teach him, what do you teach him? That's what you do with a little kid. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. You should tell him, Aleph, go, ah, oh, eh. No! The kid doesn't know what he's talking about. Why are you teaching him these words? What's the kid going to get out of it? So the Alter von Slabodka says, if you take a Yiddish kin and you train him at the beginning, Torah, my kin, say the word Torah even if you don't understand it. But start the beginning of your life with Kedusha and Torah. Then you'll be Kodesh and Torah for the rest of your life. Now we all know, we all have Aliyahs and Yeridahs. We do have Vedas and we do Tshuva and we do have Vedas. We're all human beings. Hashem knows that we have a tough Yetzer Hara. Hashem knows that. But if we start out at the beginning, Deleishis, the beginning of the day, the beginning of the week, the beginning of the month, the beginning of the year, the beginning of this man, the beginning of all beginnings. If you start the beginning, then you have the ball rolling in the right direction. It's very, very important. This little tzaddik, Rabbi Avraham ben Musa, the tzaddik, the little boy that ended up becoming such a big Baal Mekubal, because his reishis was so halik. His beginning, no one gave him a dunce cap. No one sat him up in a little dirt and chair, and everybody stand over there and clap over there that the boys became happy good birthday. No one's wasting the time with these Nadishkei. No, you brought the kid up with Kedusha, with Kedusha, with Kedusha. And if you start the beginning of Kedusha, it ends up so halik, and it's so important. There's another Moedei Dekamaisa from the Halik of Chaim HaKadosh. 2 weeks ago I told you Moedei Dekamaisa, but it's absolutely impossible. It's so late already, I have to stop now. It shows you what it means, Kedusha, what it means, Halik HaYidin. Halik HaYidin, people that are so great, that they have the chinuch, and all they wanted is Kedusha. And you should know, these are the happiest people in the world. They're happy, you know, there was once a big asifa, and the Rabbi Chanan Wasserman was there, was a big asifa, all the Rabbanim there. And then he said, Rabbosai, and now for a little bit, Olam Hazeh. And he opened up the Gemara and he said a shir. He said, what, everybody couldn't get over the word. A little Olam Hazeh, what's the best Olam Hazeh? Who are the happiest people in the world? Those that sit and learn, those that have Kedusha, those that have Parishas, those that have Taira, the lichtiger people. They're the happiest people. But those Bali Taiva, Lataiva Yavakish Nifrod, they have no shlita on themselves. They have no control to do whatever falls into their minds. These are the most miserable, the lowest people on earth. We're Heilike Yidden. We have a Moiridike Areshis. We have a Gevaldike Areshis from the Ovis. We have a Gevaldike Areshis from Rosh Hashanah. Every time we open up a Gemara, it's Vaita Bereshis, Vaita Bereshis. Hashem Shebench us. That every single day, we should feel in ourselves righteous. I once had a chavrusa, Benny Kalmach, you know what he told me? He says, today is the first day for the rest of your life. Isn't that a moedig of art? Today is the first day for the rest of your life. If we start from now, for the rest of your life, today is the first day. So you don't have to feel bad about yesterday was miserable, 2 days it was lousy and this and that. Today, right now, is the first day for the rest of your life. So you know, as soon as you wake up in the morning, say, today is the first day for the rest of my life, I'm going to start righteous. I'm starting good. And if you get up with a moedidika zrizus, you get up a moedidika hispilus, Hashem will bench you. Hashem should give us the courage and the strength. We should throw away the narishkeit, the shtusim and avalim. And we should have a gevaldike reishis every single morning. And we should serve Hashem the way we're supposed to. And Hashem will give us a gevaldike siyata deshmaya, and we'll be matzliach. Amen v'amen.